success around the nation. You're right, Ed. That's a perfect piece of music from Montage in a mid-80s film.
Absolutely right. That's got Triangle Clothes written all over it.
Welcome to Get This Around the Nation, myself, Tony Mack.
Yeah,
it's true. Gets around, doesn't he? What exactly are you doing? I mean, obviously you've had a big win with your Warrikappa Cools. No denying, possibly the funniest thing on the show this year.
I think you're right.
But what other jobs has he got? Let's just go through them. We've got Rowe. We know he does a bit of writing and acting work
stuff on Rowe. Yeah.
Community TV you're on at the moment.
Doing a bit of breakfast show stuff on average once or twice a week.
Right.
With Emma Race.
Stand-up gigs. I hear you had one the other night.
Doing some stand-up around the place.
Yeah.
That's going okay.
Right.
I think.
You're
never tell.
You're the doyen of the theatre restaurant scene.
Yes.
You got the arts from that column in the...
Yeah, no, that's gone.
Adelaide newspaper on Monday. You'll be back, I'm sure.
Yeah. Across the key to step down. I think I might... step into that brewery.
Really, yeah.
And now that Denton might be going to become Lawsy,
yeah,
there's a job opportunity at Enough Rope.
Okay.
Enough right. Marlon Rope.
Jeez, Renaissance man.
And these are all the jobs you want to mention, Rick?
Well, that's all I have at the moment.
Really?
You sure that's all you've got?
Yeah, I mean, that's all I'm prepared to reveal.
Isn't it true, though, that you've been panelling for other shows? On other networks, on other stations, that are rivals to us.
No, I don't know.
I don't think your contract allows for that.
Really?
I think you're meant to be exclusive to Triple M, I'm sure. Yeah. You read the fine print.
Well, I'm pretty sure I haven't been doing any moonlighting work handling other shows.
Really?
You're insinuating there.
You are such a moonlighter. You are Sybil Shepherd. That's what you are. It's never been said before. But it's possibly true. Well, I've got to say, this is something I taped off the radio. Just hit that button.
You're listening to ABC FM, and I'm Jonathan Parker by the Funk One. And we'll have more music from the 17th century. Classical music I was referring to. No, I'm not taking bait. 15 off Mr. Darth Land on the control panel. will be joining us for the conversation fortnight. One anecdote stretching 2 full weeks, seeking to break the record set by Noel Ferrier back in 1978. Oh, one moment by mistake there. Please don't write in. That should be 1979. Seems somebody's been tampering with my notes.
We've been gotcha!
We're going to have to have a short break. ABC FM.
Oh, somebody's dropping a phone.
No, I'm sorry. Go to another break. There are perhaps 2 composers who can lay claim to the title Il Mostro Splendifica. Their names...
Wastage and Seepage.
No, I'm sorry. No, I hand this up to...
My long blonde locks.
I will throw one of these sea change DVDs.
That's a big game.
Right, that's it. You provoked me. We're back. A new attitude. The ABC FM. We're all this month. We're celebrating the music of the great German composer von Fromberg. No, that's enough. No, I'm sorry, you've got a lot of front though. It was once said by the legendary Russian cellist Alexander...
Got my rocks off?
No, it's not got my rocks off. No, I'm speaking, of course, of...
Olvia, is it?
No, rather our guest in the next hour. He's been described as perhaps the most brilliant public speaker of his generation.
If I told Fred to jump off that, I told you, my career, to come down and jump off that, we'd want to jump. I don't want you to jump off that, but
we first heard the following arrangement. Sir John Mills was heard to remark.
What are you all looking for?
I'm sorry, I was saying I'm getting more.
I heard ya!
With Adam, and if I were king, part one.
One in the morning, I've seen it again.
Oh, Ferrier or Wegstaff?
Wegstaff or Ferrier? It's for the choice. Maybe Barry Creighton.
This is the end of the year. Get this. Around the nation on Triple M broadcasting from the salubrious Triple M studios.
There's a truck everywhere and the seats of the guys are feeding. It's not bringing you to work.
Do you know if she's single, that girl that says there's chuck everywhere?
There's chuck everywhere.
So maybe. She's got chuck all over her, certainly.
Sure, there'll be demands for that to be a ringtone by the end of this segment.
Chucked up and ready to go, that girl.
We can't keep up with the ringtones on this show.
What's the latest one?
Even me saying that will probably be requested for a ringtone. Now, everyone, including Matthew Ludgate, wants...
What you're looking for is a booster.
Way to have your phone ring.
And why not?
It will be from today, hopefully, up on the website at some point.
Right.
Also, there was a reference to all me plums in that last item, if you've just joined us. Sorry.
I'm having real trouble getting past the whole fairy gag. It's just really... Because I vaguely know who he is. From a, you know, from a childhood spent at my a dark room in my auntie's house being forced to watch the arts program on the ABC.
He was a large man with glasses who would be wheeled out for your blankety blank. He was like Walsh Joe to spin a few anecdotes.
He was a great storyteller, wasn't he?
He sure was.
The most obscure reference we've ever had.
And wasn't there a product, Ferrier Water, for a few years? Yeah, it was water siphoned from Noel Ferrier's body. All right, that's lost everybody. No, there was no to Umi Plums. Kevin Harrison reckons we've stolen that idea from a radio show on Radio Merseyside, which you can access via the internet. They do a segment called Hold Your Proms.
What does that involve?
It involves asking trivia questions to which the listener would answer, pull a trigger of a fruit machine, a whole lot of plums would come up. The idea is to hold your plums.
Oh, I get it. It's like a poker machine.
That's different. That's a holy plum.
Nothing like it. No sandbags involved.
Oh, look at this. Jerry Rapp has written to us, New South Wales. He said, I thought I'd let you in on a little game I played on the weekend. See how many times I can sing The Vinga Bus Is Coming before my girlfriend slaps me. I cheat seven. This one was Saturday morning, belting out my own version at the usual workday time to get up. Oh, right. Okay. Well, getting up on Saturday morning. And the girlfriend's still asleep. He's singing The Vinga Bus.
Oh, good.
Relationships on the rocks. Okay. He wants us to put Ed's special version on repeat. Oh, when his girlfriend's in the shower. That's a nice, that's a lovely thing to wash yourself to. But you didn't do the Vinga Bus.
I do a better job than Richard.
Could you demonstrate for us?
Yeah. All right.
The Vinga Bus is coming, and everybody's running from north to Ibiza in the Mediterranean sun.
Wow.
That's good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Much better.
You know, there's no feeling in it.
What's my problem with it? The thing I love is we've actually...
You don't want to go north.
There's two different songs from the Vinga Boys. The Mediterranean Sun bits from the other song, the Ibiza.
I know. He mucked it up. So now I've got to do it.
But well, look, that is from the... We're going to Ibiza.
Oh, yeah.
But I love every time different version we've done has had to incorporate that mistake.
Yeah.
We noticed the Prime Minister did it. The really old version from the 1920s did it.
And the really elongated Bob Dylan band.
Okay, but no, so we don't, well, we might box that up and maybe send it round to your place, Jerry, to really put that relationship to bed. Apart from that, hasn't sung the Vinga Bus song. What has he sung, Rich? What was that?
We haven't heard that before.
That was you and Keith Urban, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's new.
Goodbye. What else? Oh, okay. Is Mario mixed up this? So can we please stop talking about
it? I got it right.
This is Ivy Sorensuch.
Say it again.
It's becoming Mo's bar in here.
I'll give it a go.
IP Freely. Is there an IP Freely here?
Who is it? What's his name?
It's Ivor Sorosuk.
I don't know.
Ivor Biggin has seen that a few times.
Ivor Sorosuk. Ivor Sorosuk.
I don't know. Are we still going to hear?
Yeah. Tell us, what is he saying?
He's saying, just listen to the latest podcast. Ed screwed up again. When settling the Pac-Man situation, Ed implied...
Oh.
Okay. It's a nerd country now.
Yeah, hello.
Here we go. The Mario fire flower sound effect was, in fact, the sound of the mushroom which enlarges Mario to his larger size.
Yeah.
Does that happen in the game or in Ivor Sorosuk's mind? Okay. Can we hear the contentious sound?
Sorry. Yeah, pure family food on the end there.
Touch a bluff on the end there, but...
Okay, which one is that? Okay, I'm confused now. That's the sound of a man sitting at home in his room typing emails to a radio station about video games that came out
in the late 80s. Oh, correct! I suspect Ed Cavill is not as old school as he wishes us to be.
How dare you? You hear that, Sorosuk? That's the sound of nylon track pants, my friend.
Wow.
And I'm wearing them. You want to bring some lino, Sorosuk? Bring some lino. I will electric boogaloo till you cry into your Wheaties.
Okay. I'm looking at some hard news. There hasn't been much of it in this half hour, has there? Look at this. This is the kind of letters that people are sending into the nutbag column of the paper. Scott Checkley of Corumburra says,
So a little kid, he got blind drunk at the strippers? Mm. Just another reason to like him, I say. Yeah. What red-blooded male hasn't done that? You've got my vote, Kev.
So this bloke is Scott Checkley sitting at home, looking at the stats, looking at who he's going to vote for.
This one's been to the strippers.
Howard been to the strippers?
Absolutely right. You see, the interest rate's really starting to hurt the hip pocket. That's less money to stuff in a G-string.
I don't trust that bloke. I don't think he's been to the strippers.
And if he did, I mean, did he have a lap dance?
I'm not sure.
We need to know.
Mm.
All right, that's how politics covered.
Up next.
Yes.
Tony Martin.
Richard Martin.
Yeah. Up next.
What?
The world's most notorious stripper caught on tape. No, I meant flasher. The world's most notorious flasher caught on tape.
Let me guess, you haven't actually photocopied that script for Richard yet.
I'm going to do it now.
Oh, sorry. Can I guess? Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's happening in about 3 minutes. I'm going to be listening. Very convincing. Worthy of our sponsors, the Nissan Navara, huge pulling power for beverage holders. I think you know the story by now. The workday.
Yeah, right.
Tack it.
What about on the weekend, though?
Tack it the same way.
Do I have to buy a second car for that?
No, you can still attack it
with the Navara.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Sweet.
Just live in there.
Well, well.
Sure.
Plenty of room.
Am I padding? Is that what I'm doing?
Well, I think maybe. Tone, what's up for the next break? Because this is really...
Well, if the listeners get on board in the next break, you're not going to eat into their time, I hope.
I guess not. It's really what?
Scotty?
Nah, come on. I saw you guys rehearsing through the glass for at least 45 seconds. It's going to kick out.
Any time in my life I'll ever say this, I wish that dragon song was longer.
Be a rage.
I saw him trying to add another minute of rain sound onto the end of it.
I'll be in here.
100's got that.
Did you someone say dragon? We can record it.
No, excuse me, we're not doing anything.
What is this? What are we going into?
Well, it's time now to hit the big news, Tone.
Yeah.
We're going to hit the big news.
It's about time.
A serial flasher strikes again. We now cross live to a local news program locally. Back, police are again looking for a naked man who's been running through backyards wearing only a ski mask to cover his face. Police have released this audio. Shocking. shocking testimony. A 25-year-old woman says she was sitting in her living room working on her laptop when she noticed a naked man outside her window.
Facebook is totally the best. I can message people.
Woohoo! Oh, here's my profile picture. Oh, yeah. Who the fool?
Get out of here, you naughty. Just get out of here.
Three people in a home reported seeing a man wearing only a bandana and sunglasses outside their patio door. Who's there? Who is that?
Like myself? This is my outfit for the Bill Garden Christmas party. I want to draw the wild hogs at once.
Oh, Richard, please. You can at least wait till after dinner. Police remain baffled.
That's a newsreader who kept going, oh, Richard, stop it.
No, he was a different guy,
different character.
Richard, you weren't meant to have your hand over your face. It was only meant to be for the first one, for the schema.
I thought it was the schema.
Yeah, it rendered everything else inaudible, but I'm sure it didn't have any impact on the script that you spent minutes writing.
Yeah, my apologies.
No, that's all right. You did a good job.
You got an unmasked version, maybe.
Yeah. You couldn't pre-record it this morning.
We had so much drama going on
in the studio. James Rain was in here recording some kind of unplugged deal, and he was
good news.
He took over all the studios, and we tried to record quite an elaborate sketch.
Mm.
And at one point, we had to move in next door to where he was.
Mm.
And he's in the studio doing unplugged with the guitar.
Yeah.
And our production studio backs onto it. And because the headphones were plugged in from our studio, what we were doing in with Maddie,
he can hear,
was bleeding into James Rain.
Oh, James.
So he's there trying to do Hammerhead or something like that. Probably. And he can hear through the phones on the floor, Molongo Locks, Warwick Kappa. And then I've realised that's exactly what happened in those phone calls you did.
He was trying to people.
So we accidentally made it happen again.
That's the hazards of not having enough studio space.
He's trying to record a song and he's hearing Warwick Kappa again. Completely by mistake.
Studios are full, James Rain's in there. Garden's full of furniture, the kitchen's full of plants. Jeez, it's just chaos at Triple M.
What a mess. We need the listeners to help us clean it up as we enter. This is what we're doing next.
Yeah.
The seven circles of...
seven rings of social hell.
That's what I meant to say.
Screams do come through.
Around the nation. That's right. Yeah, this is the program. And DVDs, yes, a lot of DVDs coming out. On the shelf here at Get This World, a lot of people are pointing out that Deadwood Series 3 is out now.
Yeah,
got that the other day. Good price, too. Nice price.
Really?
Yep. It's about, I think, about maybe $40.
Good price.
Again, yeah. The whole series there. Wouldn't make much sense if you hadn't seen Series 1 and 2. I will say that. A lot of people calling in saying you need to organise a swear-off between Al Swearingen on Deadwood and Ari Gold on Entourage. Now, I don't really watch Entourage.
Right.
Who would win that, do you think?
Swearingen would win in here.
Because he's filthier and he means it.
And
I read the kind of passing comments.
He'd be fed to the pigs.
Absolutely, straight away.
But Entourage is more front-stacked.
Yep.
But
not enough tail in Deadwood, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, not enough quality.
Hot chick.
Western tail.
It's Calamity Jane.
And the women in Deadwood are a cheap date, though.
That's true.
Which outweighs Entourage. They seem a bit needy.
All right, that's not true. DVD. Then you've got, obviously, Barge Art in the Olden Days remastered. Thank God you're here, Series 2.
Yes.
Series 2. All the evidence is there to see. And, of course, goes out tonight.
Does. You're on, Tony.
Yes, indeed.
Great.
I can't promise gold. But I did have a couple of drinks before the all-in challenge, so that gets interesting. And, of course, Rob Stitch is coming in there.
Yeah, we'll talk about
that,
Rob.
That with us, you know, we need some music here. Can just give us something, you know, you can't see Triple M sound, Mr. Martin.
listeners there. Here, get this around the nation on Triple M. That was the Cranberries. And shall we go straight up Talkback Mountain? Yes! And Manny D on the Pots and Pans. We're off Talkback Mountain. Our topic today is what? The seven rings of social hell. I think I do that every time.
I think so, yeah. Quite long, that one.
Get some in the breach there, Rich. What are the seven, what is it again?
The seven rings of social hell.
That shouldn't have gone to echo out there.
It might have been backwards.
Backwards.
Yeah, it was backwards. Something to play backwards for people who
are backwards. It's in the Griffith Satan. All right. Please explain.
So what this is, Ted, Rich, is social events that you don't want to go to, that you are forced into.
Okay.
Now, the reason I bring this up, I was out the other night just having dinner, whatever, and to my left was a table where a boyfriend was meeting the parents of his girlfriend for the first time, but yes. I was eavesdropping.
Yes.
To my right was a baby shower.
Oh,
now, these are not fun events, either of these.
Hang on. Nicky's disagreeing there. I think lots of people do enjoy baby showers out in the real world.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay.
See?
But hang on, Nicky, did you have a baby shower?
Yes.
Okay, and did people give you, like, oh, it's a nappy basket?
Yes.
Well, can't play Nintendo on that.
A lot of people find them handy.
All right, fair enough. But on the other side, it was like, this is, all right, Dad, this is James. Oh, nice to meet you, James. Nice to meet you, Mr., you know, Mr. Boring. And then later on, I heard someone say, yes, I quite like trains. I thought, oh, that's bad news. And then later on, I heard someone say, yeah, we often just pack up a tent and go camping as a family.
No, no, don't need for that.
You should come one time, James. And I just thought, that is...
Okay, let me find out. That'll hurt. Okay, you've got pain to the left, pain to the right. What's going on the interesting table in the middle with you, Mitch? Yeah.
Oh, I'm talking Batman.
that's more acceptable.
I am talking Penguin. Yeah, that's what was going on.
Who with? Friend. Okay. Oh. All right, that'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll find out
what's going on that social circle of... Oh, exhausting.
Doing the Doppler.
You saying the Penguin. Was it the Penguin this morning?
Mm. I'll talk to Mr. Sitch about it.
Yeah, he knows it was amazing. He's big Commissioner Gordon. But see, I don't... I'm trying to think the circle. No, don't do it again, please. Okay. Someone will get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I get invited to get to be a mediator between feuding factions of my family.
Fantastic.
In New Zealand, I'm often just put on the speakerphone to act as a, you know, intermediary.
She didn't mean it.
And it always turns ugly because they just turn on the intermediary.
Absolutely.
And then people don't quite know what it is I do for a job in New Zealand, so they'll always just be, oh, yeah, it's all right for you, Mr. Bloody TV man with your bloody superhero costume. So some of my relatives have seen a photo of me in a superhero costume. Well, thank God you're here. And they think that I have, a really low-rent superhero series. Oh, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, you're bloody with your superpowers and your friends.
You can just fly out of the situation.
Go back to your bloody secret sound.
Yeah.
Battle of the Sexes, whatever it is you do.
Whatever lariat you're running over there.
So I get called in. So most of
mediating family disputes.
Yes, I guess. And see, the idea is have them in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Because then there'll be, you know, not as many raised voices.
Exactly right.
Right.
And you just stick around for the dessert course.
And then you just get to the end of it, you know, it's all the other tables in the restaurant have just somehow moved away from
amazing.
It. And also you get this, like, okay, I can't shout, and you get this, oh, what are you doing?
I love it.
Why would you say that? High-powered, you know, power whispers.
And pointing at the table. Pointing. Yeah, all right, so there we go.
This is why I live in another country.
I know it is. So I'm nominating meeting parents of a partner.
Right.
Baby showers. Not Nikki's, though.
Hers is awesome.
That'll be tough.
It was a kitten's car wash.
That'll be awesome.
My Chemical Romance will be playing that one.
So, Tone, you're nominating...
Family disputes.
Marsland.
Conversations with my landlord.
Oh, that's taking you down.
There we go.
my landlords live upstairs from me in a man about the house style situation.
Actually, the Three's Company. I think they were downstairs on Man About the House, according to Ross Noble.
Yeah.
Or an upstairs. Downstairs, I would have also accepted.
Yes. So the elderly couple live upstairs, and they're lovely. Mm-hmm. They're really fantastic. Every Easter and Christmas, I give them a bottle of wine and some chocolates to enjoy.
What a
It's turned into a weekly conversation about the things and the car park and what have you. Catch up about the family.
Oh, man.
I think I'm godfather to his grandson soon.
That's so amazing.
I mean, it's really advancing at a rapid rate, this relationship.
Right?
All I'm doing is renting.
Is he asking you for the old splash down in the bath?
There's been some of that.
The hard to reach places. This is what we're looking for.
Quite a few different versions of...
Thank you very much to Foo Fighters and Kevin Rudd.
With the Pretender.
Insert your own joke here. It's Get This, it's Talkback Mountain. We're talking social hell. I just have to say, you know, in the old place you live, a lot more stories for this segment, I noticed. Less now that catch up. Moved into the Dude Ranch.
Yeah.
And we go to the song and I say, hey, why didn't you tell that story? That would have been perfect for this. And he goes, oh, no, no, one of my flatmate's girlfriends is monstering the show.
I suspect she might be.
They don't want it to turn into the last one again.
No, exactly right.
Ended up on air and then he's got the boot.
All right, who's living in a social hell today?
Hello, Bridget, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
We're excellent. Your social hell?
Children's birthday party.
Oh, I hear that.
That's the thing. My little boy is a bit naughty at school, so he's very popular.
Oh.
And he gets invited to that many parties, and I have to go. I can't leave him there yet because he's only six. And I have to sit there and listen to all the parents going on about their kids and how good they are and da-da-da.
Bridget, would you say that for the most part, kids are pretty much the same? Like, there's no real great difference between them, is there?
I don't think so, but you wouldn't believe that talking to other pets.
There you go. Now, Bridget, you said your kid's a bit naughty. What kind of shtick is he running? What's his go at the moment?
He's on a red... They get red cards at his school for being a bit naughty, and he's had two this year, and it's only August, so he's doing quite well.
What would they be for? Burning down the school?
No, one of them was for fighting with grade 7 girls. And the other one was for, I think him and his mates were throwing sticks and stones. I don't think at anybody, but it was classed as dangerous play.
Yeah, it certainly was when the footage was shown on the news. They take it on their own phone. That's all the go, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bridget. Lovely
thank
to talk
much.
To you. Hello. Oh, yes. Hello, Silo. How are you?
Yeah, not bad.
Excellent, sir. What's going on? What's your social hell?
Recently I went out clubbing with my current girlfriend and two female friends who I'd previously been involved with. And, it all sort of came out on the night and I ended up having to stop my girlfriend and one of them punching on with each other.
Oh, that's the way. Hey, what's rather good around Australia for your popular catchphrase, which of course is...
People want ducks.
Well, as far as we can tell, chicks want silo.
But just on that, considering the mileage you've got out of my little catchphrase there, I was hoping to hit you up for one of those illegal downloads.
Yes, all right, I think that's fair enough.
Coming your way.
How many are we down to now,
Becky?
Well, hang on a sec.
Sorry, she's spilling his head off mic today.
25 copies of
them is your limited. Thank you, Silo.
Good to hear you speak to you, Silo.
I think we need some more from the circles of hell.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good, thanks, folks. How are you?
We're excellent. Your social hell, sir?
My, it's going to happen tonight. Yep. My 14-year-old son has a 14-year-old girlfriend, and I'm meeting the parents.
What are they doing, people?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about them, and we're having a barbecue. So you're stuck next to the barbecue with the father, the beer. I've got nothing to say to him. I've got no idea. It's going to be ugly.
Yeah. I'm hoping to have a car accident and be in hospital tonight, actually.
Well, he's hoping.
Yeah. Well, we can send the X Triple M Thunders round and make your dreams come true.
Well, great way to break the ice, too, to get on a national radio.
Good on you.
It's safe, though, isn't it? One listens to us.
I'm just picturing a guy at a barbecue next to a guy in the full Ku Klux Klan gear. Life is stubby.
Yeah, what are you reckon?
Yeah, those kids seem to like each other. Now, thank you, Jeff. Lovely to talk to you.
That was, of course, a fictional situation I was just picturing there.
Absolutely right. Hello there, Paul. How are you, sir?
How you going, guys?
Excellent. Your social health?
Well, basically, my girlfriend's a teacher, so every single event that I have to go to with a bunch of teachers is my social hell.
No. And thought the teacher's having a function. Is that the kind of thing that you're being sent to?
Yeah, pretty much. The last one I went to was an engagement party, and pretty much you walk in the door, get the introductions around the group, and then you're left on your own while they talk about how shitty the kids are.
Tell me, Paul, because we took a few calls that we couldn't get to, engagement party. What exactly are we celebrating? That the same people that have been in a boring long-term relationship have decided to make it official?
Well, I had this conversation with somebody the other night, and they said that it's basically an excuse to get more presents.
See, that's what it's all about.
Talking sense, Paul.
Well, what is the upside, though, to being married to a teacher? Lots of information at your fingertips, obviously.
Well, there is, but there's... Well, she's going to change careers shortly, so...
Did she bust out, you know, the catchphrases? You know, in the boudoir? You get a bit of that?
Actually, now and then around the house, you do hear her put on the teacher voice, and you sort of get a little bit scared.
Oh, really?
Are you chewing?
A bit of that.
Stop throwing cakes.
Share it with everybody.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.
What a few.
I won't make you do it again, Mr. Martin. Okay. Richard is exhausted. He is.
Well, though.
Visiting the circle. Thanks to everyone who contributed.
That was good fun. We'll have to do that again. That was great.
You know what's good fun? Thank God you're here. Goes out tonight on Channel 10.
7:30.
Who's with us in the next hour? Dr. Rob C.
Every performer's worst nightmare.
The jazz flute, just the way we like it, at the top of the hour. It's dragged in, yes, Rob said yes.
All of Batman was shot off a rakish.
Maybe the listeners are getting sick of this, Rob, but Ed Cavalier has never seen the old Batman TV series. We just discovered it.
And the episode that you told me about was on this morning, the one where Batman runs for mayor up against the Penguin.
Do you remember the Tony, the one that we used to love where the commissioner invented the look to camera?
Yeah.
He said Batman and Robin ran out. He sent a check on her and he said, so brave, so...
Yeah, lost. He lifted a whole lot of qualities.
Courageous, so some, and then turned right down the barrel of the camera and said, and then he said, rare qualities in men these days, Chief O'Hara, and then stared down the camera and
very rare.
That was beautiful. Yeah, you could see him waiting for the camera to move in.
Beautiful actor.
What a pro. Name a film where someone looked down the barrel of the camera and broke the fourth wall.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. Someone does that in Goodfellas. The best one, I reckon, is in Trading Places.
Thank you.
Eddie Murphy.
What was the name of the sandwich there?
Oh, it was because they're asking if it was like Ralph Bellamy and Don Ameche explaining to something to him, like
Paul Shelley.
Yeah, like he's a child. If I had 10 foot birthday, he just looks at the camera like, am I an idiot?
Like for bacon, like you would have in bacon, pineapple, and relish sandwich. Just be able to straight down the camera.
That is.
Right. Well, that's a good one to think about over this hour.
Bill.
What if I'm looking at the talking to camera?
Murphy, Michael Caine.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly McVeigh. Talking to camera.
The
Welcome to our level, Rob.
Thank you very much.
We've got a lot to get out of it. I'll bet again.
And there's also a budget surplus we're led to believe in this country.
Let's spend it on something good.
Something good.
And we're going to talk, thank God you're here. That's on tonight. It's all coming up in this hour of
Get This. Thank you, Mac.
Yeah, thank you. combination on Triple M. It's the second hour. Let's get straight into the nonsense chatter, please. Join the dots between Scarlet Pimpernel and Lord of the Rings. Ian McKellen.
Was he in
Thank you.
Okay. Well, no.
Was he in the chonky new Scarlet Pimpernel?
Yeah. With Richard E. Grant, that one.
No. Anthony Andrews is the cheapest and dodgiest but funniest one. Lots of people saying, sink there.
I spent a year of my life with Tony walking around speaking to Scarlet Pimpernel.
Sorry about that. It's work related.
And he goes, no. No, I do believe it. Well, welcome.
Yeah, it was. I was trying to set up a live comedy night that was meant to be as though it was happening in like the 15th century.
My apologies. Yeah. I didn't know there was a good reason for it.
Yeah, I was going to hire that stagecoach you could get.
Right.
Everyone would rock up in that. It was going to be called the Scarlet Pimpernel Goes Bananas.
I can't explain. I feel embarrassed now, Tony. There was a reason to it all.
We're in a conversational cul-de-sac. I've got to get us out of here, please. Batman, now, you were just talking off the air. You know, it is amazing to think that somebody could never have seen that series before.
I was actually asked in one of those, what do I wear and what's in my handbag? What did you watch when you were growing up, your favourite one? And Batman was mine.
Yeah.
The jury came back in.
Because it's exciting when you're 8 and it's hilarious when you're 15.
Amazing. Yep.
That's the thing. Today Robin was getting attacked. And Batman ran over with a cardboard box and had to stuff it on someone's head. Obviously, the first take, it didn't work. So they ran over and they had the box, like, predispositioned to crack over this guy's head. Runs over. There was a goon.
Yeah.
He gives him one. It stopped. The goon stopped, looked at Batman. Batman looked at him. He just held the box. And then the goon jumped his head in.
Someone said to me recently, do they have the bat plane in the old...
You were asking
me. Yeah, they have the bat plane.
In the... movie. And in the comics, he has a plane that flies out of a cave.
Yeah.
On the TV series, they couldn't afford that, so they had the Batcopter that was just moored at Gotham City Estuary and not locked or anything. Like, anyone could just wander down the jetty and get in.
Yes, that's right. We weren't allowed to watch TV Monday, Thursday. We were allowed on Friday, and they used to do it that they showed half an episode on Friday, on Monday.
Yeah.
But if we got the wrong, if we got the, not the resolution episode, but we got the setup episode,
yes.
It always ended on the cliffhanger, what will Batman do? And I remember at a young age running to my mum, Mum, you have to let us watch on Monday. Batman's been tied up by the Riddler. No.
So you just ended up seeing first half.
Yeah, first half, as my mum would say. Bust me, Rob. I think Batman's going to escape.
But the voiceover guy, because it's such a great voiceover.
Tyranny!
Same Bat Channel. You know who that was? His name was William Dozier, and he was the producer of the series. And he did the voiceovers for one reason, and that was because by doing the voiceovers, he could get an equity card, and they had a much better medical plan for actors and for producers. That's the only reason he did it.
Well, this morning they got away. The Penguin had him right where he wanted them, about to fall into a vat of what said acid on the side, just so we knew where it was.
Think about them, like the moment when the Penguin henchmen have to write acid on the side of that,
and when they have to put on the top saying henchman.
It was the goon this morning, Rob.
Goon.
So I was thinking, all right, Batman's in big trouble here. All of a sudden he looks at Robin and goes, don't worry, Robin, I'll take care of this, and launches himself headlong into the vat of acid. And Robin goes, holy shit, fury, Batman, you'll be killed! Batman gets up, dusts himself off, and says, down the barrel of the camera, luckily Alfred insisted that I weaved in anti-acid matter into my suit. Now, where were we?
What about the ions? What about the mouth bit?
No. All right. Okay, we've plugged a show that was made in 1966. Well done, all. Thank God You're Here is going out tonight on Channel 10 at 7:30. Who's on there?
Well, a couple don't pass the character test.
Yes.
As defined by immigration. Mr. Tony Martin.
Yeah.
Use your IQ button there.
Look, I can't guarantee anything good in my scene, but the all-in, I did something I've never done before. Had a couple of drinks beforehand.
Help.
I wasn't happy with my scene. I went, bugger it. I'm just going to do what I've seen other people do. Have some beers.
He has a couple of wild curveballs in the ending. Now, I remember Peter Hillier and Stephen Curry drank out the fridge.
Well yeah, done.
I gave it a nudge. I think Akmal had two Red Bulls one night. I would suggest you go down the alcoholic side rather than Red Bull.
Fair enough.
I've also got Cal Wilson, Stephen Curry. He's back, but we're breath testing this week. And Carl Barron.
Oh, yes, he's not been on before.
If some people out there may not have seen Carl's DVD.
It's the biggest selling comedy DVD ever in this country, I'm told.
And there's a darn good reason for it.
Yeah.
Because he is AAA funny, Carl.
Yes. All right, Carl Barron on board. Thank God you're here tonight. That's got the business out of the way. Let's get back down the shallow. We next on Get There. From the Androids, a whole lot of love here. Get this, second hour on Triple M. Rob Stitch sitting in for this hour, and we're meant to be talking about topical matters, but the conversation keeps tripping back to Batman. What was the episode you were saying, Rich?
I was talking about one where they had budget cuts. I think maybe it was the last season.
Yeah.
And so they wrote a script wherein all the power went out in Gotham City, and they couldn't show the fight scene, so it would just be, it was just a black screen with the cards coming up, pow, and the sound effects, so they couldn't actually show the fight. It was basically just radio.
What is your favourite Batman sound effect caption, Ed?
Oh, plump.
You hit someone into a table.
Plump.
There's some IE going on as well.
This is like the day I got into an argument over what were the ranks of the officers, the German officers in Hoek.
What were they?
There was Major Hofstetter, Sergeant Schultz, Colonel Klink, Major Hofstetter, and there was we were arguing over where, and you know, we went too long. It was being broadcast, so I didn't realise. Like, you know, when Homer Simpson is impressed by the power structure of the Three Stooges,
I'm always their leader. All right, we're doing it again. Hey, I want to ask you about something. Santo Chilaro was in recently, and he was recalling the days when you guys would go on tour, comedy review style. And he said you went to Perth and performed in a strip club. And he said there was a comedian whose act was just holding a tape recorder up to the microphone with a Kevin Bloody Wilson tape in it and just playing it to the audience.
Really? But urging the audience, going, hey, 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 hey. He was, what happened was that we had the nighttime slot.
Yes.
And the stripping tended to finish by the afternoon. And the changeover to our show,
right.
we were given free lunch.
Oh, wow.
We had to be in the strip show to get the free lunch, so we were getting the chicken parmigiana, thanks. Watch it, boys. And would you like a salad with that? I'll have the salad, thank you. And a bread roll, thank you. Come on, boys, give her a cheer. And you start to eat as someone's like, you know, stripping in front of you. You can't point out to the rest of the patrons, it's because I get the free lunch and we're 20. And the guy that was hosting it that held the microphone up to the tape recorder, he was urging everybody. You weren't rowdy. He wanted it rowdy.
Right, right.
And then one guy was just a little, you know, sort of just tired, having a beer and enjoying the show. And he goes, what are you, mate? A homosexual putter.
That's become a new favourite insult.
So I'm trying to eat my parmigiana. I've got a cheer at the same. It was very difficult.
Well, you are having lunch at a strip club. You know what you meant to say.
Put it on Cole Allen's account, please.
Aren't we learning a lot about Cole Allen, the editor of the Daily Telegraph?
Yeah. What's the euphemism? He's a character, more than a character.
He's a larger than life, colourful personality, likes a few.
Colourful newspaper identity. Never a dull day with this song.
Talk about.
He was the guy that dragged our esteemed opposition leader.
Yeah, that's right. He was. And it's a great thing because The Australian had an article recently about how it's amazing, you wouldn't believe it, but on the other side of the world, a newspaper called the New York Post wrote a pro-John Howard story having a go at Barack Obama, not pointing out that that paper, the New York Post, is owned by Rupert Murdoch, just like The Australian. He's not pointing out that Cole Allen is Australian and used to be the editor of the Daily Telegraph, where he was incredibly pro-John Howard. And also, I've heard Cole Allen regularly had dinner with John Howard.
That's
pretty good. But it was amazing. They're just off his own back. Someone on the other side of the world.
Wow. We're getting noticed over there. Yeah.
That's right. Look, we want to talk about the surplus, the budget surplus. You know, there's this future fund. that we're always hearing about.
There's heaps of money.
Vision. And the idea is it's going to be for future generations.
Yeah.
Look at them.
Yeah.
So let's have it now. Let's break it open and let's see what we can spend it on.
Enough of it will eventually make you seriously ill.
Good afternoon, Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. Around the nation, it's Triple M's Get This. Rob Sitch is with us. Thank God you're here. Goes out tonight, Channel 10, 7:30. And I think the second series now in the shops on DVD. Is that right?
I believe it is. Yeah, the box set.
Wow.
But it's actually, three discs or something.
Three discs. And, you know, it's going to have to bunch up on the couch a bit for the Late Show Presents Bars Out in the Olden Days.
Yeah.
Which features a lot of your work, but many of it, much of it in hidden form.
Mm.
There's some Bruce McAvaney work, but you've got to hunt around on the menus to find it. It's stuff you don't even remember doing.
I was actually explaining to somebody on the cover of the Champagne edition of The Late Show, it's actually, some of the irony has been lost. I was explaining today it was because Tom had pre-recorded the worst comedy sketch.
That's right.
In sketch comedy history.
That's true.
And to which I said, Tom, I watered it down and just said it was really bad. And Tom said, well, I've just got nothing to fill it with. I said, that's no reason to show it. And he said, well, that's all the reason I need. And so that's why I went and got a tuxedo and champagne.
That's right. And you coined that phrase, champagne comedy, which comes from, who was the bloke who used to say champagne football all the time?
Oh, God, man, now I'm kidding.
Is that the captain football? And the major?
Yeah, well, what was that one of their names? That's one when we came up with the character, Graham and the Colonel. We'd run out of ranks. We'd taken Captain Major, we grabbed Colonel, and we can't be the General. We can't. I'll leave it at Graham. The character's only going to last 2 weeks. That's 20 years now. It's been haunting me. People say, what?
Graham, it was definitely. Well, look, enough of that. We're going to talk about the budget surplus. What's it up to, do you know, Ed?
Something of $7 billion,
I think it is. $7 billion.
Or 17.
Well, give or take $10 billion
to put in a pokey, got a feature, and away they went.
Well, look, in short, we're sitting on a whole stack of cash in this country. Mm-hmm. Now, one option would be to spend it on sensible things.
Like?
That's for roads
and roads, obviously.
Something with a visionary sounding fund name.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Into the Future Fund.
The Hoverboard Proscenium.
Collective?
Maybe a study. Maybe. Well, that'd be good.
Commission study. An electorate fund.
Who's getting their roads this time? Yeah. Well, who's getting promised some roads that may not actually be built this time around? Yeah. More popular. Okay, what should we spend this money on? Rob, what would you like to see it spent on?
Larger screens on international flights.
Oh,
okay. Here's a separate list. Is the worst film to watch on a plane. Zodiac. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
But it was a long film.
Yes.
And I fell asleep the first attempt. But I had to go a long way. And then it came on again and I got into it. And then I'm going, wow, I really want to find out who Zodiac is. And then right at the end, it goes to fade to black. I'm going, oh, don't put up writing. And it was like two paragraphs, the first frame. And I'm going, oh, no, how do I pause this? And then it faded to black and more writing.
Oh, not more writing.
And then a third frame.
Oh, no, it's a book.
And I still don't know
Well, I hate it when writing comes in at the end to sort of save a couple of reels worth of action. It happens in Ray. The Ray Charles story.
Yeah.
It's pottering along fine, and then all of a sudden the sign comes up. Over the next 20 years, Ray Charles did this.
I know. It's amazing. He kicks his heroin, and then over the next 70 years, he never touched heroin ever again.
And then they just cut to like a 30-second scene of Jamie Foxx of the old age care.
But as long as you don't sit on a plane where you don't even know what he did for the next 20 years.
You've
got it. Yeah, bigger screen. There you go.
We're on the subject as always.
An ambition.
Trading. What about a sensible carbon trading scheme? Listen to this from Stephen Gylas. One of our listeners, I don't know if this would work or not. I was checking out my carbon footprint, and he reckons I've got to plant 35 trees to be carbon neutral. I propose that my power supplier plant me 35 trees and then go out and cut down some trees and burn them instead of coal and grow some more. There you have it, a completely sustainable carbon trading scheme, and I don't have to do diddly.
Well,
is that true? Is that practical? If we work out how many trees worth of, you know, carbon footprint we're all... You know, knocking up there.
Right.
Just plant them. I'm sorry, I've planted 35 trees in the backyard. I can do what I want now.
They're my 35. That's my oxygen from those trees.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know if the spleens are changeable.
Yeah, possibly. There may be a bit more science in this idea than I've realised. But, you know, he's on the right track.
He's doing something.
He's thinking about it.
A for effort.
Well, Tony, I think that we should have something to close curtains all the way. Now, we know that when you close curtains, there's always...
so true.
There's you always the jeans shop or...
No, no, well, anywhere.
Generally.
Pretty much in my house. Because I live in the front room, Rob, at the Dude Ranch. And it's... and there's a gap of about 20 centimetres in between when they're closed, as it were. And I was getting changed last night. A gentleman walked past.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, he probably didn't see anything until he kind of sauntered back. And I thought, well, come on. I mean, this is a social contract we've entered into, so we may as well see how this plays out. And then he wandered round to the other side of the car and pretended he was trying to open the door and get in and drive away. So I'm just going to keep getting changed and see how long we can get this, you know, keep this charade going.
It's odd for you because then when you get changed, thank God you hear you deliberately leave the door open.
That's right, there's a lot of that. Everyone's seen some garbage.
It's up on the big screen for the studio audience through the breaks.
One of the extras on the DVD.
And you never know. It's night vision equipment.
Hang on, but are you saying $17 billion would rectify this curtain shortfall?
Let's see.
Yeah. Let's find out. Richard, just quickly, what do you want to spend it on?
Oh, I went out last night, and you know those machines that they've brought in England because a lot of establishments are going non-smoking?
Oh, yes.
Because now cigarette smoke tends to disguise a lot of the other.
Very true.
Body odours. So yeah. Now when you go to pubs and indeed comedy venues,
yes,
it's no longer a pick-up line is, do you have a light? It's, I didn't fart. It's,
that's not mine.
Hi, Richard, that smells like me. How are you going? Your place or mine? It's a very strange thing now.
So you're saying spend the surplus on these machines for every pub in the country. And what does it do? It creates a pipe in a second-hand smoke smell,
yeah,
but without the murderous nicotine factor.
Exactly.
I reckon you can get the priest with the incense.
George Bell will just do a couple of circuits before we continue. We'll accept any idea, anything. Here, get this. What should we spend the budget surplus on? 133353. Very nice. That's the Church Almost with you here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Rob Sitch is with us. Thank God you're here. Goes out tonight on Channel 10, 7:30. And we're saying, hey, let's squander the budget surplus. Who's got an idea in that direction, Ed?
G'day, Mick.
Oh, how you going, guys?
Excellent, mate. What's your idea?
Well, I'm thinking seems to be working pretty good for Mr. Rudd, the old strip club scene.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mr. Howard could subsidise strippers. Make it more affordable.
So you want to take $17 billion and slip it down somewhere to G-Street.
Why not?
So is it actually an apprenticeship stripping? Is it actually part of a HEX scheme?
It's a four-year course.
Yeah. It could be now.
Yeah, well, that's a great idea, Mick. You walk into a strip club and a representative from the government, Kevin Andrews or someone, hands you $300 and away you go.
Try deporting one of those strippers on a 457 and see how the Australian public.
Hey, Mick, can I just ask you, how do you feel about Mr. Rudd now that these revelations have come out?
Hardly makes a difference, really. I mean, it wasn't while he was on the election campaign. It was years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, this is what most people seem to be saying.
The voice of common sense, right?
The voice of common sense. Nice to hear it. Who's going next?
G'day, Paul. How are you, mate?
I'm well.
What are we going to do with this surplus?
Okay, I reckon pay off everybody's mortgage.
Yeah.
To give us more money to spend so we can go off and buy other stuff. Keep the economy ticking along.
Red Robin?
Wilson Pickett. So, Paul, once your house is paid off, what are you going to use all the extra income on?
Oh, yeah, who knows? You buy everyone flat screen TV, every room in the house, put a bit more thought in. You can buy brand new cars for everybody, get the old sort of polluting cars off the road.
Yeah.
Environmental concerns right there.
You've got our vote, Paul. Start your party up, get yourself $200,000. That's another way to raise some money. Who's going next?
G'day, Robert.
G'day, how you going, guys?
Excellent, mate. What are we going to spend this surplus on?
Every person in Australia gets a copy of Bar Jar.
You're ever likely to see on a special feature, the Street Theatre Awards.
Oh, man. So have you got this DVD yourself, Robert?
No, I haven't, and I've done my best to get one lately, but I've been an aficionado of barge arse for the last 25 years.
Yes, well...
I've told everyone about it, but I've actually thought this through a little bit.
Yes.
What, it shouldn't just be sort of carte blanche. It should be given out at christenings, at bar mitzvahs, 16, 18 birthdays.
Yes.
So it becomes like the new Mein Kampf.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's Mein Kampf, of course, the German book about those comfortable shoes.
Absolutely right.
But, okay, well, we're right behind that idea. You can see some of Rob's work. And now, when you say the Street Theatre Award, what are you talking about there?
Amazing sketch from The Late Show, which you had told me about, Tone. Yeah. I don't remember seeing, where it's like the Academy Awards for street theatre protests. And, Tone, I believe that you had... the whole year had been collecting footage from the news.
Yeah, this is actual, not made up, real footage of dodgy street theatre.
Yeah.
And what we discovered is, and you can still see it to this day, whenever there is footage of street theatre on the news, you'll see someone dressed as, you know, Uncle Sam, someone dressed as a skeleton, someone dressed as the Grim Reaper, a death mask. But then for no reason, Peter Pan, or Ned Kelly, or, you know, the cop from Police Academy. There's always a rogue element that doesn't make sense.
Yes. It's hilarious.
That's the planning till too late.
There was one recently with the David Hicks project, and the cage was being pushed by the most elaborate Ned Kelly you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite make sense. Oh, but he spent so much time on the costume. Let him be. Let the Red Indian be part of it, too.
Thank you, Robert. And from Robert, we go to Rob. How are you, sir?
How's it going, Bill?
Excellent, mate. What are we going to do with this surplus?
Well, I've got two suggestions. First one, another hour, get this.
Fantastic.
And secondly?
Secondly, a Star Wars style cruise hit of Ed's Meat Pie.
The film that Ed really is in, he shot it 4 years ago, it remains unreleased. The trailer can be seen on YouTube. It
remains unreleased. A bull. As well.
Have you had a look at that trailer, have you, Rob?
I certainly haven't. I saw it last night.
Your thoughts?
What were you thinking?
Yeah. In my defense, I wasn't that young and I probably didn't need the money. So.
Normally the reason is you've used four Beatles tracks.
Have you seen this trailer, Rob?
No, I have not.
No, let's not. Let's not.
Oh, you're worried about future employment?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, we like the first idea, not so sure about the second one. Thanks to everyone who contributed to draining off the surplus. You know, there hasn't been enough about Richard Marsden in this hour.
Really, I don't think so.
You're probably sitting there, Rob, going, the guy's a cool spring.
Exactly.
There's so much more to the story we don't know about.
Unleash the energy.
Let's peel another layer off the onion. Let's together. Here at this around the nation on Triple M. Rob, were you talking about anecdotes?
Oh,
what was that?
No, I was just thinking, you know, when something happens to you, and you go, oh, that's a good anecdote.
Oh, yeah.
And I use that on the show, we say around here. But I actually thought one that happened the other day that would only be an anecdote as long as I've got the fail safe of the sound effect.
Oh, we can help you there.
Just give me the sound effect. I'll see if the anecdote can live up to it.
Do you want
to
hear it first?
Yeah. Too high. Let me set the scene. I have a groovy younger brother who runs a groovy men's fashion line.
All right.
So I was driving in the Melbourne area of Capel Street, which is a very groovy street.
Sure.
So it was Elvis's anniversary, and I bought an Elvis because it had a song I could never find. So I put it in, and I clicked on my CD player, and it came up James Blunt, the James Blunt Elvis.
Did it?
And I went, in the safety of my own car, I went, you know, I reckon people are a bit tough on old Blunty. And I got on the old You're Beautiful. And when you hadn't heard it for a while, I actually gave it a bit of a crank. And as I drove into Chapel Street, I went, I'm having a sunny, good time. I cranked it all the way.
Oh, did you?
You know, safe in the knowledge outside of my car, it would still sound like, boom, boom.
Yeah, right.
But I saw my younger brother sitting with a groovy friend in a groovy cafe on the groovy... And I thought, I waved to him. And he just gave me the look like I was from another planet. Because in order to wave, I wound the window down, letting the blunt meister out. And everybody heard what I was listening to.
Oh,
so that you can just play that. That's the music to play in my head as it happens.
You're a pretty serious driver, actually, defensive driving. That would sum you up, Rob Sitch.
I did have a racing car license.
Well, down the other end of the pool, we have Richard Marsden and
the Black Thunders. I don't know if you've heard the Black Thunders are off the streets now.
Yep.
Yeah, the Triple M Black Thunders or Triple.
Well, I'm not sure what it's about, but it may have something to do with the last time Richard got behind the wheel of a Black Thunder. Here's what happened.
Under Sheriff Tom Thrall races to catch up to a man who just tried to run at a roadblock.
Hey,
Roger, I'm
the sheriff. I'm the
Black
Thunder.
The suspect is drunk.
Long time